Public speaking is the last thing I ever dreamed of in my life I would be doing, simply because, whether you believe it or not, public speaking is my biggest fear until today. My knees, they shaking. Such a hard, I was the one subject I actually failed in high school, but we see when we push, we do for Hashem, then we have siyata d'shmaya. I'm here to share with you the story of my dream, which is a story that is clear proof that there is another world out there where the only things that matter are Torah, mitzvos, and Kedusha. Parshas Vayeshev, 12 years ago, I went to take a nap Shabbos afternoon. Interesting Parshas Vayeshev, that's the parsha that Yosef HaTzadik had his dreams. I went to take a nap Shabbos afternoon, and I find myself in a dream. In my dream, I see my brother, who was 27, who was single at the time, just standing there. And near him was standing a man who looked like a big tzaddik. He had a big beard, he had long chaos. But I did not recognize him. I'd never seen him in my life. And suddenly the man turns to me and he says, Chavi, you must learn the sefer, Oz v'hadar levusha. In the dream, I turned to the man, I said, Oz v'hadar levusha. Everyone knows that's the strictest tzniyah sefer around today. I told him, I cannot learn that sefer. It's not for me, and it's not for women of our generation, I told him. And he just looked me straight in the eye, and he said, you must learn this sefer. The next minute, I was up from my dream. My heart was pounding. I was in a cold sweat, and I said to myself, okay, just a silly dream. We don't even believe in dreams today, especially a dream that someone's telling me I have to be machazik and sneers. Give me a break. And I tried to get it out of my mind. I tried not to think about it, but it was eerie. It was scary, and I couldn't get it off my mind. The next day was Sunday, and I remember I went to drop off my little son by yeshiva that morning, and I decided I'm going to go have breakfast with my parents. They're only a 5-minute drive from my house. So I drive to my parents, and we're sitting in the kitchen, and we're sipping my coffee, and this is how Hashem orchestrated that the events should unfold. I'm sitting there, and suddenly, the brother who had appeared to me in the dream strolled into the kitchen, and I said, Shaya, I had such a weird dream on Shabbos. I said, you came to me in a dream, and you were standing near a man, and I start describing the man, and I start describing the dream. And suddenly I look at the other side of the counter where my brother is standing, and I see that his face turned ash white like he'd just seen a ghost. And he starts hammering, what? What time did you have this dream, Chavi? What was he wearing? What did he say? And I said, Shai, I said, he's very shaken. I said, what is it, Shai? He says, Chavi, you're not going to believe this, but this man that you are describing, I have no idea who he is, but he came to me also in a dream, Shabbos afternoon at the same time. He told me, I woke up very shaken, but I told myself the same as you. It's just a silly dream. It's just a silly dream, but now that we are describing a man detail for detail who we both don't know, this can't be a coincidence. These kinds of things don't happen to regular people. So we were a little shaken, but we didn't know what quite to do with it. Okay, fast forward a few hours later, I returned home. I remember it was a cold Sunday, snowy. My husband was away all day, and I was cooped up inside with my sons. And my mother called me a few hours later, and she says, Chavi, I got a message on our answering machine. There's some type of asifa for women tonight. It's supposed to be a zechus for the Skolena Rebbe's son who's very ill. Do you want to go with me? I said, Mommy, what is it about? She said, something daughters of something. She didn't catch the full name. My mother was under the impression it was about women who survived the Holocaust. Now, the amazing thing is that, like, I'm really not a night person. I do like to go to Shirim, but not at night. But I literally feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu led me by the hand that night to this event because it made no sense. My mother and I both don't usually go to Asifos at night. We never went before, and we never went again. But here I said, you know, Ma, I'm so cooped up. I'm going to get a babysitter. We're going to go. And so I get a babysitter, and we drive up to the hall, and I get out of the car, and we walk in through the doors. And right when we walk in,
There is a long table against the wall, and on this table they are selling piles and piles of the Sefer Oz V'Hadar Levusha. My mother and I look at each other. We just don't even speak. And she buys me a Sefer, and we sit down. And what was this event, ladies? It was a Daughters of Dignity event. It was a Tznias event. That's how Hashem got me to go, because had I known it was Tznias, I never would have gone. So we sit down that evening, because I will tell you later, Tznias is something I very much struggled with back then. I did not understand what it meant, what the beauty is. And so I realized that I had this dream, and they're selling the Sefer, I'm told in the dream, and I never go to Asifos, and I'm ending up here. The messages from the next world were getting louder and louder, and I understood Hashem had led me here, and I was ready to hear what was going to be said. And the first speaker to get up that evening, her name is Rebbetzin Esther Bick, and from Borough Park, and this is how she started off her shiur. She said, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld proclaimed that the last Nisayon before the coming of Mashiach, the final battle before the Geula will come, will be the Nisayon of Tznias. And this time my mother and I look at each other and we burst out crying. The tears are just falling. I remember it was very embarrassing. And why were we so shaken? Because we are Enoklach. We are great-grandchildren of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. And I never heard this quoted in all my life. And I just felt like, okay, Hashem, you led me here. And it was a very inspiring asifa. And after the asifa was over, my mother and I went over to this Galena Rebbe's daughter who had arranged this asifa for her brother who was very sick. She said, Rebbetzin, listen, my daughter had such a dream. My son had such a dream. We never come out to these asifas. We ended up here. You're selling the book. She told to learn. Please, please, can you ask your father, the Holy School and a Rebbe Zatzal, he was nifter, I think 2 years ago. Everybody trusts in your father. Please, can you ask him, who is this man who came to my children? What do these dreams mean? And she was blown away. She took in all the details and she said, Mrs. Samet, I'm going to speak to my father and I'm going to get back to you. And a few short days later, the School and a Rebbe's mother, daughter, her name is Nechamala Kluka. She called my mother, and she said, Mrs. Samet, I went to speak to my father, the Holy Skelena Rebbe, and this is what he says. The dreams that your children had are real and true, and whatever they were told in their dreams has to be taken very seriously. So there went out the window like it's just a silly dream and I don't have to think about it. He said, the man who came to your children in their dreams was a great-great-grandfather from a previous generation. He said, people think that when people pass away, they're in Olam Haba, we'll continue living life down here, and we sort of feel like our connection with them is over because they're there and we're here. Says the Skelena Rebbe that grandparents maintain a very, very strong kesher with their children and grandchildren through doros, through generations, and that they know exactly what is going on in this world. The mitzvos and mas and tovim we do down here give them tremendous joy and simcha and shamayim, but when they see us varying from the path of the Torah, they can also experience pain. So the way I had been dressing at this point was obviously giving whoever this man was a lot of pain. He finished off by saying, because you had a zechus, someone came to you from the Olam HaEmes to give you musar, you have a mitzvah to be mefarsim the story. You have a mitzvah to publicize the story. Fine. So for the next couple of weeks, my mother was showing my brother and I different pictures of grandparents. Being that we were grandchildren of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, we had his picture big hanging in our house, and I knew what he looked like, and I knew it was not him. It took us a month to figure out who this man was. After my grandfather was nifter, my mother inherited an old box of photos, and she was going through it, and she was going through this one and that one, and one day she shows my brother, and she says, Shai, what about this man? He takes a look and he says, Mommy, this is the man from my dream. This is him. I wasn't even in Lakewood that day because we had a Yahrzeit Suda in New York. My mother brought the picture with her in her pocketbook. And when she showed it to me, she did not tell me already that my brother had identified it already. And I took one look at the picture and I began to cry. I said, "Mommy, this is the man from my dream. This is him." And who was this man, ladies? He was the son-in-law of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. His name was Rabbi Shmuel Hillel Schenker, my great-great-grandfather, whom I never knew, but apparently knows me very well. And I will now show you a picture of the man. Are you ready? Something quickly, because as we know, inspiration, if we don't act on it quickly, it does not last. And so I decided I'm going to start in my house something called Pininim Group, where women come together twice a month and we learn Hilchos Tznius in a very gentle and beautiful way. And I was in touch with the person helping me to start my Pininim Group, and I told her my story and why I'm starting it, and she shared it with her husband. She couldn't get over it. She was blown away. And she called me back. She said, "My husband, I shared this story with my husband. He decided to do a little research. Chavi, you have any idea that this man, Rav Shmuel Hillel Schenker, he wrote a sefer called Chachma Slave, collectively. He started an organization in Yerushalayim called Agudas HaKodesh." She said, "Chavi, you have any idea what this sefer, what this organization is about? It was all about Kedusha V'Tahara B'Yisrael." So it was another piece of the puzzle. Well, he was this particular grandfather who came to me because he worked hard throughout his life to promote this mitzvah, and he wanted to see it continue on in his grandchildren. A few days after that, a woman calls me up. "Hi, is this Chavi Bauman?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Chavi, my name is Mrs. Klein, and I have to tell you, I was the woman in charge of getting the books to the Daughters of Dignity event that night. Chavi, I cannot explain you the hashgacha process," she said. "I am trying to get, it was a Oz Bahadur event, and I'm trying to reach the author to get the books, and I'm calling for days, and I cannot reach her, and I'm crying, 'Hashem, we need this forum, what are we going to do? Please, please Hashem, I cannot reach her.'" So they were shoal etza, they asked the rabbi, "What should we do?" And the rabbi said, "For this asifa, and just for this one asifa only, just this time," he said, you should sell instead the Sefer Oz V'Hadar Levusha. She said, "Never again was that Sefer sold in conjunction with the Daughters of Dignity event." I literally had to walk in and see the books at the door, and I understood Hashem had led me, and it was for me. So, Ms. Galena Rabba told me, you have a mitzvah to be mefarsing the story, you have a mitzvah to publicize the story. And at first I said, "That's very, very nice, but that's never going to happen. No way." But there was something in me that wanted so much to do it for Hashem, but I'm so terrified. And I said, "Hashem, why me? Why me? Why do you choose someone who doesn't enjoy being in the limelight? I don't enjoy public speaking. My knees are shaking, and I'm already speaking 12 years. It doesn't get easier. Hashem, why me?" And I'm thinking, and I'm thinking, and I'm thinking, and then I have a thought. My thought, maybe why Chavi Bauman is because I'm not a rebbitzin, and I'm not a holy woman. I'm a regular, simple, plain Jane of a girl who fully understands the nisyonos of tznias. I know exactly what it's like to be in a store trying on a dress or a skirt or a top, and you look so cute, and it's exactly what you were looking for, but maybe it's a little too short, it's a little too tight, it's a little too eye-catching. But I also know that if I could make small changes, baby steps, and reach where I am today, everyone who's struggling in this room can do it too. At the event that night, the Daughters of Dignity, they quoted the famous Chazal, "Bischos Nashim Tzidkaneos Negalu Avoseinu Mimitzrayim." It was in the merit of the Jewish women that we were zocha to leave Mitzrayim. Chazal tell us the women never changed their clothing. You can always tell an Egyptian woman from a Jewish woman. And Chazal tell us that was one of the reasons we were zocha to leave in the merit of the women. But till that evening, I wasn't aware there's an end. B'schus nashim tzidkaniyos negalu avoseinu mitzrayim ve'asidun lehigael. And once again, in the future, it'll be in the schus of today's women. Today's girls will be machasik in the mitzvah of tznias, in a generation, in a time in the world where the nisayon is so not normally hard, that the geula will come. And that's what people ask me, you're going to Brazil? I said, I have to get my message out. I am done. I do not want to be here anymore. It's going to be in the merit of the women, and we have to get it going. Ladies, every morning we say in brachos, we finish off and we say the Talmud Torah keneged kula. And when a man learns Torah, it's keneged every mitzvah in the Torah. Well, did you know that what Talmud Torah is for a man, tznius is for a woman, and you can substitute it. V'tznius keneged kula. It is the sanctity of the Jewish woman. Ladies, imagine walking into a gorgeous jewelry store. Beautiful jewelry store. Everything you can imagine. Pendants and earrings and necklaces and real jewels. And you see it set up the same way you would see food products in the supermarket. Yogurts and cakes and cookies and bread. Very unlikely, right? Why? Because jewelry is very valuable. Therefore, it has to be displayed carefully. Food products are, you know, inexpensive, so they could be displayed openly on the shelves. But jewelry is valuable, and you're never going to see it like that. It's always going to be behind a lap showcase, right? Or a jeweler running through the airport to make his flight. Is he running with a clear, lucite suitcase for everybody to see? Never. It'll be in black felt bags and a leather-bound suitcase, right? What do we learn from these two analogies? What do we learn? The more precious an item is, the more it is concealed from the public. The more precious an item is, the more it is concealed from the public. Well, the Jewish woman is a priceless jewel. Why is she so priceless? Because she bears and raises the future generation. Thus, she ensures the continuity of Klal Yisrael. Since she is so holy and special, she is granted an extra commandment to be concealed and to be modest. Thus, Tznius portrays her unique inner value. Conversely, when a woman displays her body or her beauty for the world to see, she cheapens her own profound self-worth. Because the Jewish woman, in the eyes of Hashem, is a priceless jewel, and because of that, she's kept covered. When a Sefer Torah is not being used, it's kept covered. The more precious something is, the more it is concealed from the public. Only the woman was created with this extra measure of holiness. But as a girl, I grew up, and how I felt about tznius was, so many rules, so many burdensome rules. This rule, that rule, and I felt like, tznius is about so many rules. And as I began my journey, and I began to realize what it is, I realized we have to change our mindset. Instead of looking at tznius as all the burdensome rules given to women, we have to begin to look at tznius as the gift, as the power given to women to hasten the geula, as it says it's straight out there in the Chazal. Pat, who was a chief buyer for Anne Klein, New York, she today is a Baalat Tshuva, and she related to Rebbetzin Sahava Bronstein, Aleha Shalom. She said, Rebbetzin, do you know what mitzvah was that inspired me to become religious? She said, working out there in Manhattan in the city in the fashion industry, she said, we saw clearly the immoral motives of the designers. She said, we saw clearly how degraded women really were in their eyes. And when I heard about the mitzvah of tznius, I said, a religion that gives such dignity and protection to the woman? That is the religion for me. And it's amazing, because that was her turning point. She looked at it as such a gift. We're always looking out what's in style, what's coming in, what's new, what can we copy. But an outsider looking at it, crystal clear, the dignity and protection given to the Jewish woman. How lucky we are. So ladies, think about this. Why is it that we will run to be mahadir many mitzvos?
we will run to beautifying so many mitzvot. For example, a man will spend a lot of money on a beautiful lulav and esrog for Sukkos, right? Or women will spend a lot of money on beautiful flowers or meats, l'kavod yom tov. Why? Because Klal Yisrael is so special, and we love to be mahadar the mitzvot. We love to beautify the mitzvot. It's very, very interesting. We love to be mahadar mitzvot, but when it comes to the mitzvah of tznias, which is a mitzvah like every other mitzvah in the Torah, we are totally satisfied with following the most lenient opinion. Ever think about it? It's very interesting. Whatever could get away with, it's good. You know, I used to work on, you know, I used to feel like I worked on Shemira San Rashon, and I was working on being down the Kas Plus. Hashem, it's okay. It's, you know, it's, I can't be perfect at everything, you know? But when it comes to this particular mitzvah, it's okay. Whatever we're holding, we're fine. Why is it that way? Because tznias has a tremendous power to affect yeshuos, parnasa, sheduchen, refuos, you name it. The stories people have shared with me, I could keep you here all day. Tznias has a power. The Yitzhara is very aware of this power. Why does it have such a power? Because it takes so much mesiras nefesh to change even one small thing. I know. It's our image, it's our style, it's something we created for years, and to go and change one small thing, it's very, very difficult. And because of that, the Yitzhara makes us feel very complacent. He doesn't want us growing in this area. He does not want us. But let us look to overcome him by looking for ways to be mahadar in the mitzvah of tznias. And I'm going to share with you some personal stories just to show you how powerful the mitzvah of tznias actually is. The night of this Daughters of Dignity event, I came home and I said, Javi, if you're not going to do this now, you are never going to do this. I flung open my closet. 12 years ago, what was in style was the short pencil skirts. Do you remember? I don't know. In Lakewood, it was pencil. Thank you, Hashem, for long skirts. They should stay in style forever. But back then, it was short little. I opened my closet and I took out the shortest, tightest, most fitted pencil skirt that barely skimmed my knees, and the most tight-fitted turtleneck that I loved. And I walked them over to the garbage and I said, Karban LaHashem, Hashem, this is my karban. And I threw it into the garbage. And this is how a woman or a girl today can bring a karban. And by the way, it was a major karban because it was my favorite outfit. And the next day, I went out and I said, I'm going to buy two new skirts that are only 1 inch longer than what I have been wearing. When it comes to Yiddishkeit, when it comes to growing, it's always about small, healthy baby steps towards a larger goal. When we take too much, too fast, too extreme, it's not sustainable growth. And so that wouldn't be considered healthy. You want to do it slowly. I said, Hashem, I'm going to buy two new skirts. I'm going to start slow, and it's only going to be 1 inch longer. My mother was very proud of me that day. I remember whenever I used to be sitting, she'd pull up my skirts. Mommy, stop, you know? And I went out to buy two new skirts. My mother was very proud. She called the Skalena Rebbe's daughter. She said, Rebbitzin, I just want to tell you, my Chavi, she went out to buy two new skirts today. And suddenly, the Skalena Rebbitzin had a beep. She said, Mrs. Salmon, I have a very important phone call coming in. I have to take this. The very next phone call she got was that her brother, who was in need of a liver transplant. Nobody should ever, ever have to know what it's like to be on an international organ waiting list. Time was of the essence. He was dying. He needed a liver, and he was not on a good place on that list. He was on that list for a while. I went out to buy two new skirts that were only 1 inch longer than what I had been wearing. The very next phone call she got was the besura that her brother had suddenly gotten a liver. Suddenly, right? Girl, ladies, this is the power of an inch. This is the power of an inch. An inch on this world goes miles in Shamayim. When it comes to the mitzvah of tznias, there's nothing ever considered insignificant or too small in the eyes of Hashem. Whether it's adding an inch to a skirt, whether it's
sewing up a slit, whether it's cutting our hair or a wig by an inch so we have a little bit more of a modest look. No one should ever say, it's still not perfect, it's still not good. Like, what's the point? We have no idea how holy and how precious even the smallest move in the eyes of Hashem is, because what does Hashem want us to see, ladies? Hashem wants to see our ratzon. He wants to see our heart. He doesn't expect us to become transformational rabbitsons overnight. He wants to see our heart. He wants to see our ratzon. Bederach she'adam rotze leilech bo molichin oto. In the path that a person wants to go, he will be led. Molichin milashon malach. An angel is actually created at the time that the person makes the decision. I want to grow. I want to be closer. An angel is created to help that person to reach their goal. Right after my dream happened, my brother Shaya said to me, "So Javi, you're about to embark on a journey. It's not going to be easy for you. I'm going to daven for you that Hashem should help you to be a tzanua b'simcha, and that it should be easy for you." And I remember him telling me, "Go very slow, and remember, always we have to bring Hashem into the picture. Always remember that." And so after the dream, I started letting down all the skirts by one inch. And I'm learning Sefer Oz V'Hadar with a friend over the phone. And time is going by, and I remember that I was getting out of a car one day, and Da'as Yehudas tells us the skirt should be 4 inches below the knee, because that is the proper length where our knees will be covered in every position. And that is the halacha, that the knee should be covered in every position. So they have 4 inches, right? And back then, I was not at that point. And I remember I was getting out of a car, and my skirt ran up, and my knees were exposed. And I said, I think I'm ready to take now the second inch. And as more months are going by, months and months, I remember I was running upstairs to get something. I was going up, and it was a short, fluffy skirt or whatever, and I'm running up, and again, my skirt ran up, my knees were exposed, and I said, I think now you're ready to take the third inch. And by the time I was ready to put on a skirt that was 4 inches below my knee, I thought I would feel like the biggest nerd in all of Lakewood. Forget Lakewood, the biggest neb in the entire world, because I'm only 5 feet tall, and in my mind, if you're petite, your knees have to show in a skirt for you to look normal. But I remembered what my brother had told me, and every time I took an inch, I used to cry, and I used to pray, and I used to say, Hashem, I want to do your will. I want to do what's right. Help me to feel beautiful in this new change. Help me to feel pretty. Help my eyes to get used to it. When you're used to wearing a skirt that's barely skimming your knee, it's going to be very difficult. But when you do it very slowly, that's the key. And I used to daven, Hashem, help me. And by the time I put on a skirt that was 4 inches below my knee, I felt totally gorgeous. Does that make any sense? No. But it makes sense when we bring Hashem into the picture. Hashem says, open for me the opening as small as the opening of a needle. Just show me your ratzon. Show me. And I will open for you an opening as big as a hole. Right? Now, after my dream happened, I started, the first thing I did was work on slowly, baby steps with the skirts. 1 inch, 2 inch, 3 inch. Then I was starting to be careful that my elbows should be covered, that my collarbones should be covered. And I started being more careful with wearing stockings when it was very hot outside. That was something that was so hard for me. And the last thing I waited to do was my wigs. Because for me, the length of the wigs was the hardest. Harder for me than the skirts. I don't know, you look in the mirror, your hair is what you see around your face, and that's what makes you feel pretty. And for me, it was so hard, but I decided I was finally ready to cut my wig. And I remember I called my very good friend, Rina Bean. She has a big, beautiful salon in Lakewood. And I said, Rina, I know you are so busy, and I know you are so swamped, but I'm ready to cut my wig. Just 1 inch. That's all. But I want to give you the zechus. Would you have time to do it for me? And she said, Javi, of course, I am very busy, but if it's just off the length, we're going to make it work. Come in, and we're going to do it. And I'm sitting in that chair, and I suddenly look up at my friend, Rina. I said, Rina, This is so hard for me. This is my gorgeous new Chevy wig. This is so hard. I said, Rina, you know, when a woman has a tznius nisayon, it's not a moment to waste, because at that moment it is an ace ratzon. And she could lift her eyes to Shamayim and ask from Hashem whatever it is that it is on her heart. I said, Rina, this is an ace ratzon. This is really hard for me. What should we pray for? And she said to me, Chavi, you know my daughter, Shiva. My daughter, she recently developed a heavy stutter. And I'm very sad because my daughter, she's struggling. She can't get the words out. And my husband and I took her to the speech therapist this week, and we were told it's going to be months and months and months of speech therapy. And even with all that therapy, when it comes to a stutter, there are no guarantees. I said, Rina, you're making the time to cut my wig. We are going to daven for your shira together. And so she begins to cut the wig, 1 inch, ladies, just 1 inch. And we are crying, and we are davening. And the hair fell, and the story was over. And Baruch Hashem, we're both busy mothers, and we completely forgot about this incident. A few short months later, Rina's family joined our family for a Suda and Yom Tov, and her daughter's stutter was completely gone. But, P.S., she's such a busy Sheikomacher, and life had been so busy in that short time, she did not even have the time to start the speech therapy. She never even had the time to start the speech therapy. This is the power of an inch. This is the power of tznius. Hashem doesn't expect tremendous changes overnight. He knows we're women. He knows we like to feel pretty, and we can look pretty, and we should look pretty within the realm of halacha. But we have to do it slowly. A year after that, I remember, it was a few days before Yom Kippur, and I woke up and I said, you know, I want to come before Hashem with a karban that I can truly be proud of. And what's a karban? When we take something that's very much out of the comfort level, out of the comfort zone. Like I told you, for me, the length of my wigs was the hardest. I said, I want to come before Hashem. It's almost Yom Kippur, and I made an appointment to go cut my wig again. My husband used to drive a big silver pickup truck. He did construction and real estate management in Lakewood. And he was coming down a very main avenue in our town called Central Avenue. There had been a van of girls going late to midterms that morning, and the driver was wanting to cross onto Central Avenue. For some reason, when he looked to the left, he said there was a very strong glare of the sun that day. And when he looked to the left, he did not see my husband's truck. And he proceeded, and he rammed into my husband's truck that flipped around 3 times in the air. It completely flattened the neighbor's gate to the ground. And my husband's truck was completely totaled. Gone. Just a few inches, ladies. Inches. And my just a few inches closer, and my husband could have been killed instantly. Yet he left the scene of this accident without a scratch. Where was I that very morning? Sitting in that chair, having my wig cut 3 inches. So when I tell you we don't know how far an inch on this world goes in Shamayim, this is what I am referring to. And everybody can start with 1 inch, even a half inch. And we can put on our calendar in a few more months, am I ready to take the next step? Because those healthy baby steps are going to get us to that goal. The Chazon Ish says that every drop of sweat that a woman sweats due to the fact that she is dressing modestly, Hashem saves and collects and keeps in a special treasure house. Okay, now it's cold. Now it's very cool here in Brazil. It's actually refreshing. I'm coming from very hot weather. But when it's boiling hot like it is in Lakewood, and you're throwing on a slim maybe because your skirt is see-through, or you're throwing on a shell because maybe your shirt is see-through, or you're putting on a tznius button, or you're putting on stockings. So hot. So hard. I know, because I've been here. Says the Chazon Ish, every bead a woman sweats because she's tzanua, Hashem collects. and keeps in a special treasure house. At the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, it is these drops of sweat which Hashem would transform into dew, into tal, which will revive the woman at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim. Thus, she is rewarded eternally for her sacrifice for Tznias. And I remember that first summer, I was picking up those hosiery, schlepping it up, and I'm like, Tchiyas HaMesim, Tchiyas HaMesim. But it's true. It's true. And for anyone who struggles with covering their legs when you're wearing a short skirt, this story gave me a lot of chizuk. I share it with you. When the Klosenberger Rebbe was nifter, a woman came to be Menachem Avil by his son. And they said, we're so sorry. He does not see women. And she had in her hand a brown bag. And she said, please, please, I have something that belonged to his father. Please. And so she was persistent, and they allowed her to go and be Menachem Avil by the son. And she stood in front of him, and she said, she took out of her bag two black socks. And she held up the socks, and she said, these socks belong to your father. And these socks literally saved my life. She said, after the Holocaust, after the war, we had lost everything. She said, we were in a DP camp, and one day I was walking, and I bumped into your father, the Klosenberger Rebbe, and he said in Yiddish, Yiddish Tochter, Jewish daughter, where are your socks? I said to him, what do you mean? I don't have any socks. He sat down on the floor, and he said to her, I don't need socks, but a Jewish woman's legs should always be covered. And he gave her his own. The moment that the story happened, she said, the warmth, the love, the care, she suddenly saw a glimpse of her parents who were murdered, passed before her. She saw a picture of her mother and her father. And she goes on to say that she had been engaged to a totally irreligious man that she had met in the DP camps. But after this story, she said, I could not go through with it. And I broke my engagement. And eventually, she said, I went on to marry a Ben Torah and raising a gorgeous family of Israel. And so she said, these socks literally saved my life. So ladies, it's not always easy to be tzanua. I certainly, for one, know that. But sometimes we have to calculate what we have to sometimes calculate what we lose from performing a mitzvah against what the rewards are. By performing the mitzvah of tznias, we are fulfilling three positive commandments and two negative commandments. So that means for every second dress tzanua, we are earning 5 mitzvos. Thus, in 1 minute, we are earning 300 mitzvos. Do you get that? Do you get that, ladies? 5 mitzvos per second, 300 mitzvos per minute from a conscious decision I made in the morning in my closet in front of my mirror, head to toe, and I wear that outfit for hours in the day. The sechar, the reward we will reap for the billions and trillions and gazillions of mitzvos we perform each day will be immeasurable. And let's remember, ladies, we're only passerbys in this world. We're only passerbys in this world. We are only here to build up, to collect, to fill up those suitcases of mitzvos for the next world, for the main world. And it's very, very easy to get lost along our journey in this world with so many responsibilities that we have. But when you think about it, 300 mitzvos per minute, it is so worth it. It is so worth it. A few years ago, I had a zechus to speak in England. And the way it worked was the way they made my flight. I came there in the morning, and they had arranged that the speech would not be until the evening. So I said, I'm here in England. I have time. I am going to tour Buckingham Palace. So excited. And I go to Buckingham Palace. And just that time of year, they have a special expo showcasing the royal wardrobe of the Queen. And I remember going up and down those aisles, and I am shocked. I am floored how modestly the Queen dresses. her hemlines, her everything. I mean, I struggled with wearing stockings in the heat, you know? She wouldn't be caught without gloves. You try wearing gloves in 102-degree weather. And I was thinking, oh, because she understands that she is the Queen of England, and she understands that she is royalty, and this is how she dresses. And that is when it hit me. I said, but we are the real royalty in this world. We are the real royalty in this world. And if a woman truly understood her royal status, then she would understand that a princess has a mitzvah to look like a princess. Yes, she has a mitzvah to look like a princess. She could enjoy her wardrobe, and she could wear color, and she could look lovely within the realm of halacha. And I say it's important to spend effort and time into absolutely loving your wardrobe and your tznias clothing so that you feel great. A princess has a mitzvah to look like a princess, but the fine line we are trying to achieve is we want to look attractive, but not attracting. Attractive, but not attracting. Because l'fi halacha, quote unquote, a woman can be completely covered, but if her outfit is so revealing or so tight or so bright that everyone in shul or everybody on the block is turning around to see what she walked in wearing, that's the opposite of tznias. Tznias simply means not causing attention to ourselves, especially in a provocative way. And of course, it's not only about clothing. Of course, clothing plays a huge part, but it's about tznias, the whole picture of a princess. It's about tznias in body language. It's about tznias in how we conduct ourselves in public places. Are we in a store? I always speak with girls because I was a girl once, and we were in the pizza store screaming. And if people are looking around and seeing what's going on and it's causing attention, again, are we able to keep secrets? Are we able to practice Shmirat HaLashon? All of this is modesty. All of this is tznius. It's the total picture of the Bas Yisrael. We are princesses of Hashem. My mother always told me a story about my great aunt, Chaya Kapshitz, who lived in Yerushalayim. Chaya was a granddaughter of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, and she was very poor. She was a seamstress for a living, and she saved up and she got herself beautiful fabric. And with this fabric, she sewed a beautiful dress. And this dress, she put in a suitcase together with a tambourine, and she put the suitcase under her bed. And she said, this dress I will wear to greet Mashiach. And this tambourine I will use to play music when the Geula will come. And I love this story. It's a beautiful story. And anytime I get something beautiful, the Kavod Shabbat, the Kavod Yom Tov, a piece, something really gorgeous, I used to say, oh, this is what I'm going to wear to greet Mashiach. But this is how I used to think. But when Mashiach will come, I will quickly fly to the seamstress and let the hem down. I will wear this gorgeous shirt with a longer skirt. I don't know. Do I have one? Will it match? Listen up, ladies. Mashiach is so, so, so close. The Gedolim have been saying it. There are many simanim that are here already. We are living mamash in the time. It's at. It is so, so, so close. We don't know exactly when Mashiach will appear. We don't know when he will arrive. But when Mashiach does arrive, what will you be wearing to greet Mashiach? What will you be wearing? Because when Mashiach comes, it will be so fast, ladies. I don't know that there will be time to change. I don't know. The Satmar Rebbe Zatzal reveals to us that at the time of the ultimate redemption, Mashiach will point to the modest women and girls of the generation and proclaim, as a result of your exemplary tznius, you have hastened my arrival. He will thank the Sanuos for helping to bring the Geula closer. And nobody should ever think, oh, I'm dressing like this for so long. Me, I'm never going to be, I can't change. I can never reach anything great. A lot of us think this way. But do you know that the elephant is still
the beast of burden that is used in countries like India, still until today, where a tremendous elephant will, in his nose, will carry a 4,000-pound tree trunk from one side of the forest to the other, and in the evening, they will tie the elephant by a small rope to a small peg in the earth, and there the elephant will stay the whole night, incapable of escaping. If it can carry 4,000-pound tree trunks, obviously, it is a tremendous beast, and of course it can escape, but why doesn't it? Because when the elephant is a baby, and it only weighs about 250 pounds, the elephant trainer will tie it with the rope to the peg, and it will try a few times, and it realizes that at that little, when it's that size, don't bother trying, because you can't, because the baby is tied down to its limited beliefs. The adult is tied down to the limited beliefs from when it was a baby. A lot of us could be like that. We feel like, I'm not capable of anything great. I need to change. I'm dressing like this for so long. Me, let us not be like the baby elephants, because life will show us how strong we are and how we are so capable of changing. Rabbi Akiva Tatz says, every dar, every generation has to be mitaken for something. And our generation, says Rabbi Tatz, has to be mitaken in areas of kedusha v'tahara. And he says, and I quote, and when the men have just about lost it with the nisyonot our men are faced with today, he said, you'll see, it'll be the women who come in and save the day. Of course it's going to be the women, right, ladies? The women are the best. Of course, it's not shocking to me, not even for one second, if you think about it. Throughout our history, every geula always came the merit of the women. In Mitzrayim, it was Bizkus Nashim Zirkanios. In the story of Purim, it was Bizkus Esther Hamalka. This story of Hanukkah, the nace of Hanukkah, was through Yehudis. And as Chazal tell us, the future geula of Mashiach today will come in the merit of today's women. But ladies, I see Rabbi Tatz's words coming to fruition in my day. 13 years ago, before I had my dream, if somebody would tell me, Avi Bauman, your journey for the next 10 years, you are going to go around the world being mechazek people and sneas, I would have laughed so hard. I would have laughed. Hashem has such a good sense of humor. But not one time did I ever pick up the phone and say, hi, I have an interesting story that I have to be mefarsim. Hashem, literally, I said, I am not speaking Hashem. It is not happening. I cannot do it. I love you, but I cannot do it. But there was something in me that wanted so much to do it for Hashem. I wanted so much to overcome my fear. Hashem, I want. And I started with sharing my story at one small gathering. And before I knew it, I was asked to speak at a little bit of a bigger gathering. And before I knew it, it was like crazy. Every community I went to, I got a phone call from the next community, and I try not to say no, because if I have an opportunity, Hashem gives all of us so much more than what we deserve. So much chesed. I wanted to do a little bit push out of my comfort zone for him. And so I had a zechus baruch Hashem in the past 12 years to speak in almost many from communities. And I see Rabbi Tatz's words coming to fruition in my day, because, ladies, I cannot tell you what tznius used to be, a dirty word. Nobody wanted to speak it. Nobody wanted to say it. It's way too scary. And Baruch Hashem, over the past 10 years, a tznius revolution has begun worldwide. Brazil, jump on and be a part of history. Jump on and be a part of history. Ladies, I promise you, we are living in historical times. Today, Rabbi Matisil Solomon tells us we are fighting a war. We're fighting a war, but it's not a physical war. We're not being thrown into gas chambers. The Yitzhahara is attacking us spiritually in any way he can. And those who stand strong, Rabbi Matisil says, in these trying times, and those who stay strong and fight in this war of Tahara of Kedusha are the standing Chayalim in the war of Mashiach. So ladies, if there's any message I leave with you today, let it be this. Itzalua is a confident woman
who is not afraid to stand up for what she knows is right. Eitzanua is a confident woman who's not afraid to stand up for what she knows is right. Today, my skirts are much longer, my tops are much less fitted, my wigs are much shorter, and there might be plenty of you in this room who are thinking, whatever, she looks like such a nerd. But should I tell you what? I don't know how you say it in Portuguese. I could give two flippin' hoots. I don't know how it says. I do not care two hoots what people think today. I used to care a lot, but I work very, very hard on it. It's not what my friends are thinking. It's what Hashem is thinking. It's what my grandparents are thinking as they look down at me from Shamayim. So this is something we have to work on, building up confidence. Tanua is a confident woman. And I'm going to finish off with an amazing, amazing story that many of you probably heard. It shows us the power of the mitzvah of a married woman who covers her hair, how precious and how beautiful it is to Hashem. And let's remember, ladies, a Jewish woman's hair covering is her crown of glory. The same way when a man wears tefillin, it sanctifies the entire body. When a woman covers her hair all day, it brings kedusha to her body. And this is the most amazing story. There's a woman and she says, "Hi, my name is Charlene Amana, and my husband's name is Jonathan, and I live in Great Neck." She said, "I always consider myself to be a very spiritual person. I would finish Sefer Tehillim every 2 days. But I guess my outsides did not reflect my insides. I grew up not in such a religious home. I didn't dress modestly. And when I got married, I did not cover my hair." She said, "We owned a condo in Miami Beach, Florida. And every few months we would visit. And I had a newborn baby who was 6 weeks old. And my parents came to visit at the condo that day. So it was the perfect situation because we wanted to take our son, our six-year-old son, wave running in the ocean. My parents were visiting, so I left my newborn with them." She said, "I also had a little girl, Golly." She said, "I left her with our housekeeper by the pool, and we took our son to the ocean, and we had such an amazing trip. It was beautiful and so fun. And after the trip is over, we are coming up to the condo. My husband and I are getting out of the car, and as we are getting out, we hear somebody screaming so loud. Somebody call 911! Somebody call 911! Jonathan dashes into the pool area and says, "Why, Mama Sala? I can help. What do you need? What do you need?" He sees a man pulling out a drowned child from the water the moment they came back to their condo. They take one look at this child. It is their Golly. Jonathan, Charlene describes, when he pulled her out of the water, this man, she was completely blue, her skin, her nails were gray, her lips were purple, and she had no pulse. Jonathan puts her down on the floor and he starts performing CPR, and he's screaming, "Golly, Golly, come back to daddy, Golly, Golly, come back to daddy, Golly, Golly." And he's pumping CPR, and Charlene says, "Hashem gave me so much clarity. I do not know why, but I saw my daughter on the floor. And I said, if my daughter is dead, then my life, as I know it, is certainly over. And so I realized I have to offer Hashem the greatest karban I can ever offer him." And so she picked up a pejamina, and she said, "Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, shehachiyanu v'kiyamanu v'higiyanu lazman hazeh." And she begins to wrap her hair, and she goes on to say she was the only Persian woman in her entire community who had bleached blonde, thick, magnificent hair till her waist, and sparkling blue eyes. She said, "My whole life, my identity was my hair. I was the Persian with the blonde hair. That was who I was." So it was so, so hard for her. It was so much harder. She picks up the pejmina and she begins to wrap her head, and she was standing in a bathing suit. She said, I realized what Hashem wanted. She took a huge towel and she covered herself, and the people are gathering around Golly. "Jonathan, she was underwater for too long. It's over. He's pumping. He's not giving up. Pumping and pumping." And suddenly, as he's pumping, he turns around and he sees the significance of what his wife is doing. And at that moment, he begins to offer his own karban to Hashem. And I'll tell you after what it was that he said. And as they're pumping, as he's pumping, all of a sudden he screams, "Oh my gosh, I got a pulse! I got a pulse! I got a pulse!" And they run this baby, they rush this baby by ambulance to Miami Hospital, where they work on her there for over 6 straight hours. And the doctors come out and they said, "Mr. and Mrs. Amanov, we have worked on children that were underwater for less than 30 seconds, who will never be the same again. They have severe brain damage. They will never be okay. Your daughter, Golly, she's not okay. She is not fine. She is a walking miracle. She says, Doctor, are you Jewish? He says, I am Jewish, but we are not believers. But after today, I do not know what to tell my wife and children when I go home, because he points to the video. What happened, ladies, was a very exclusive condo, so they had very exclusive surveillance, and they brought the surveillance video with them to the hospital to watch what happened. And you see, Gali was in her stroller sleeping, and she was near the housekeeper, and after some time, the housekeeper falls asleep on her beach chair. And a little time goes on, and Gali wakes up, and she struggles out of her carriage, she squirms out, and she walks to the pool, and she reaches for a pail. And on camera, you see the time rolling by on camera. 1 full minute, and all the seconds rolling by on camera. 2 full minutes, and all the seconds rolling by on camera. 3 minutes and 10 seconds, completely submerged underwater. She's not fine. She's not okay. She's a walking miracle. And after today, I do not know what to tell my wife and children, because he points to the video. He says, because this is not science. This does not make any sense. She said, Jonathan, what was it that you were offering Hashem at that time? What were you saying? I said, Hashem, I gave you 20 years to helping people on Hatzalah. Please give me back my daughter, and I promise I will give another 20 years to helping people on Hatzalah. And the very moment they both offered their karbanos, their Gali got a pulse. But ladies, what I took personally from this story is, why do we have to wait for a child to drown, or a tragedy to occur, or an earthquake to rattle, and then everybody's running to take karbanos, and we're... Hashem is not going out of his way to make open yisim like Gali's story and my dream for no reason. So what are we leaving with today? Ladies, if you are inspired today, imagine if everybody would take one small, tiny Kabbalah. For everybody, it's something different. It's personal. Imagine what we would be stirring in Shemayim. Imagine what we would be stirring in Shemayim if everybody took one small Kabbalah. I really have two more very important things to say, but I know we have to... Do we have time? We do? Okay, two very important things. Three very important things. Number one is that although I brought so much inspiration about how miraculous, how we can see Nisim when we take things in upon ourselves in Sinias, I want to say that at the end of the day, we live in Galus, and we do not understand Hashem's ways and why things have to be the same way. And if you take a Kabbalah for a certain zechus, and you daven, and you don't necessarily see that Kabbalah, although so many people have shared with me crazy stories, do not be discouraged, because the schar for tzinius is l'netzach nitzachim l'dorei doros. And I heard a mashal. How can we even begin to understand? What is schar l'netzach nitzachim l'dorei doros? And the mashal I heard, imagine the picture of the... It's a sea of black hats, right? Imagine if that stadium was filled to the brink, past the bleachers, with billions and trillions of bird seeds. And a bird would only perch every 1,000 years, take a bird seed, and then fly away. He would not return for the next 1,000 years. Perch, take a bird seed, and fly away. The time it would take for this bird to finish every last bird seed in that stadium does not even touch the tip of the iceberg of what we can even begin to understand. Ischar l'netzach nitzachim v'dori doros. So I hope you will see many miracles. But remember, if you don't, that schar will forever, forever be yours, and you should not get discouraged. Point number two is, although I brought so much inspiration, a lot of times when we are working on something and we're inspired, there's... all of a sudden, we are noticing everybody who is not sinus. And we are giving people the look down. And you know, every midah has a opposite, right? If I'm working on sinus, then I'm noticing the people who are not. And it is very, very, very important that we never, ever judge another person. We do not know what people are going through. We do not know what people are working on already. We cannot judge. You see someone who is really not sinus and it hurts you, Say a tefillah for her. Invite her to your tznias group, but do not judge, because it is the kedusha that tznias permeates that goes hand in hand with the Ahavas Yisrael, that together, hand in hand, are going to bring the Geula together. So it's a very, very important point. And since we are many, many married women here, I'm going to just say in this group, a lot of people say to me, how did your husband take all this? So I like to say, you know, Baruch Hashem, my husband is a very growing person, and he was supportive, but he used to tell me, okay, your skirts, your look is different, your skirts are longer, your wigs are shorter, definitely, but you still look very beautiful. And I said, that's the point! Of course, that is the point! You should look beautiful, you can look beautiful, that's my message. You can be tzanua and beautiful within the realm of halacha. But just remember, married women who struggle here, that the man is the head of the home, and the woman is the neck. And the neck can turn the head. Chachmas nashim bansa besa. No big announcements of what I'm going to do after the shir. Don't even tell your husbands about the shir finished. Don't even mention. Not these big, exciting. With chachma, slowly, slowly, wisely, quietly, the neck can turn the head, and the neck can make the head want to support what is important to her down the line. And what I really feel is what is missing from our generation is we don't realize how lucky we are to be the Am HaNifchar. When I was a girl, and I grew up in Brooklyn, and I would go to Manhattan on midwinter vacation, I would choose the outfit that made me look the least Jewish. Short, tiny denim skirt, boots, a big I didn't have pride. Ladies, Asher Bachar Banu Mikal Ha'amin, we are so lucky that Hashem chose us from all the nations of the world to be his cherished, beloved nation. And so we have to walk with a little bit more pride. Yes, I dress different, because I'm a Jewish princess, and I'm proud. And I am proud, not like, whatever. You know, I realize how special I am, and yes, I am proud to look different. And so, I ask every one of you in this room to join me in the very last battle of the Yetzer Hara, as Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld proclaimed. And I will raise a banner. Can you help it up? Can you help it up for me? I will raise a banner, just like, I do not care. When I had this made, I said, I don't care if this is corny. This is whatever. I need to have this banner. And this banner went all around the world with me. And I will raise a banner, just like Matisyahu Cohen Gadol did, that simply states, Mi LaHashem Elai! Yes, you can clap for that. Mi LaHashem Elai! Anybody who goes home today with a tiny Kabbalah, maybe an inch, maybe a slit, maybe I have a skirt, I'm done, it's not for you, I'm giving it away, whatever it is, small. Anyone who goes home with one small Kabbalah, you are answering to the call of Mi LaHashem Elai in our generation. And ladies, just as we know that the kiyor was made from the mirrors of the Jewish women, first Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to accept the mirrors that the women used to beautify themselves to their husband. This is appropriate. And Hashem said, oh, those mirrors are so precious to me. That is how the women brought forth a generation that left Mitzrayim. Yes, there's a time and a place. Yes, there's a time and a place. And that kiyor was melted. And without the kiyor, you could not go into the avodah. Who knows, ladies? I certainly hope Hashem will accept our banner. Who knows? Maybe one day this will hang as one of the Yeriot in the final Beit Hamikdash. Oh, yes, Moshe. After Yitzias Mitzrayim, after the Makos, after Kriyas Yamsuf, it says Moshe Rabbeinu sang and danced Shira with the men, and it says Miriam and Aviah sang and danced Shira with the women. And I am telling you, ladies, get your dancing shoes and get your beautiful outfit, because I am so looking forward to singing and dancing with you all with the coming of Mashiach. This was Nashim Tzidkanios. May it be v'karov, si'aneinu, amen. Thank you.